This is the Canadian Taxpayers Federation podcast, where we are fighting for lower taxes, less waste, and more accountable government. I'm Chris Sims. I am the Alberta director here for the CTF. My dear friend, Franco Terrazano. Hi, Franco.
Hey.
He's our federal director. We have him stationed out at our embassy there in Ottawa. And introducing our brand new friend, Devin Drover. Devin is our general counsel, which is a fancy term for in-house lawyer. And he's also our brand new Atlantic director. Devin, are you on the rock right now? Where are you broadcasting from?
I am. I'm here in St. John's, Newfoundland.
Awesome. So it's really good that we have you on the show because there's a Donnybrook brewing in court in two different ways. Let's start with equalization. What is going on with equalization and the province of Newfoundland and Labrador, and how does it affect us?
Absolutely. So the Newfoundland and Labrador provincial government under Andrew Furey has decided that he wants to take the federal government to court, saying that he's not getting enough equalization money. Essentially, he's relying on a provision in the Constitution that's never been interpreted before by a court previously, saying that they're not getting enough money from equalization to offer all the services they want at the levels of taxation they want. If you look at, however, what they've been spending and where tax levels are, I think that's a little bit rich. And we're ready to fight it in court. We filed our application to intervene at the Supreme Court of Newfoundland and Labrador, where we're going to be arguing that, one, the Constitution was never intended to be used by provinces to steal more money from other from taxpayers in other provinces, and secondly, that this vague constitutional provision is not something that can be used when you have a province that has been wasting taxpayer money. The last 15 years, 13 of those years, there were deficit spending, and we have some of the highest taxes in the country. It's a recipe for disaster to be used here, and we're looking forward to fighting it in court very soon.
Right, because why should other provinces pay another province if they just can't even get their own fiscal books in order? Franco, you've ridden in my pickup truck, and I have a great bumper sticker that says, no pipelines, no equalization on it. That's the bumper sticker version of it. Can you get into exactly how much the West, especially places like Alberta, are getting screwed on things like equalization and why this matters?
Oh, I would love to, right? I mean, like my home province where you are, where my folks are, Alberta, the cash cow of Confederation, right? So essentially what we have here, folks, is you have a government, Newfoundland and Labrador, that's been spending like a bunch of drunken sailors. And I actually shouldn't even use that because I like drunken sailors more than I like politicians. But nonetheless, they've been... they've been spending like drunken sailors for years, and now essentially what they want to do, because they don't want to cut their massive spending problem, they want to take more tax dollars from Canadians in other provinces, right? Because that's what equalization is, folks, right? Like, you'll hear these big government supporters talk about equalization, like, oh, we need to transfer money from some have provinces to some have not provinces for some equal level of public services across Canada. But what equalization really is a slush fund for big spending premiers. Now, remember, folks, there already is a Canada Health transfer and a Canada Social transfer. That costs about $70 billion a year. Then there's equalization, which is like another $25 billion a year. And equalization in particular is just a slush fund for these big spending premiers. Like, let me just hone in on Quebec, another fan favorite of Alberta. So, look, Quebec is wasting money, like $7 million getting the LA Kings, or as our Quebec colleague Nicholas likes to say, the Kings of Los Angeles, $7 million so the Kings can play two preseason games in Quebec City. Or the government of Quebec is spending like $700 million already on corporate welfare to Northvolt so that they can build a battery plant. And the reason I'm going into that detail, right, is because there's no strings attached on equalization. So when you hear different stories of provinces like Quebec wasting money on the Kings or the Kings of Los Angeles to play a couple preseason hockey games, or wasting money on corporate welfare, well, like, money is fungible, right? So that your equalization dollars that you might be paying in Alberta are essentially going to fund wasteful spending in other provinces like Quebec.
You said fungible.
I sure did. I said I wasn't going to, but I did. I just did.
But you did anyway. Folks, to get an idea of how much Quebec wastes money, there is an ongoing argument here within the Canadian Taxpayers Federation for Quebec to have its own category for the Teddy Waste Awards. So this is the annual Waste Awards that we hand out golden pig statues. A lot of you guys have seen the videos. It's hilarious. We hand it out to the provinces and or governments, levels of government, that waste your money in spectacular fashion. Quebec is always times 10. It's like, hold my beer. I'm going to spend taxpayers' money on a bunch of blimps. I'm not kidding. Like Zeppelin blimps. It's crazy. Now, there's this ongoing fight, though. So it's become part of the culture, speaking of culture, here in Alberta, to despise equalization, the very fact that we're getting ripped off here in the Western provinces. To put it simply, we're working really hard and producing, and we're sending a lot of money east. And we're kind of looking at our Eastern cousins saying, why didn't you guys pull your own socks up? Why are you depending on equalization?
And I'm glad you brought that up, right? And remember, the Canadian Taxpayers Federation were instrumental in that referendum victory in Alberta to oppose equalization. We launched a big campaign and our referendum was successful, where the majority of Albertans voted against equalization. And one of the reasons are, I think there's two main reasons. Number one is the cost of equalization on taxpayers in places like Alberta. So when we had this referendum, we crunched the numbers, beep, boop, beep, boop, beep, boop. And equalization in like 1 year alone costs Alberta taxpayers $3 billion. Well, that's a big number. But what it means for the average Albertan is that equalization is costing them about $650 a year. So like when you ask these premiers in other provinces, I mean, you have Fury in Newfoundland and Labrador who essentially just wants to take more money from people. It's like, wait, you're already essentially getting through equalization an extra $650 from the average Albertan family. Like how much more money do you want to take from people? So number one is the cost. But number two, Chris, to your earlier point about the bumper sticker, no pipelines, no equalization. Another reason that equalization is such a bad scheme is because of the perverse incentives it creates, right? If you have premiers that can get tax dollars from taxpayers in other provinces, well, then they rely more on those tax dollars coming from other provinces and they rely less on good economic policies to grow their own economies, right? So where you'll have these equalization receiving big spending premiers who then rely on the tax dollars coming from places like Alberta and rely less on growing their own natural resources, rely less on the good taxation and regulatory policies to grow their own economies and their own tax base.
Exactly. I seem to remember a premier of Quebec saying something to the effect of, oh, we don't want Alberta's dirty energy, but you'll take our dirty, like, equalization payments. That's perfectly fine. I use dirty in air quotes, by the way. So exactly to your point. So Devin or Franco, this is obviously then why the Taxpayers Federation are getting in on this fight. Can you just explain in as normal people talk as you can for our listeners, what that looks like? Like when we get involved in a court fight as the CTF, what does that look like for supporters?
Yeah, so there's normally a lawsuit has two sides. You have the person that's bringing forth the claim and the person defending it. In this case, you have the Newfoundland government is bringing forth this claim, trying to sue the other party, being the federal government, for more money through equalization. As an intervener, which is what we are in this case, we're looking to provide a different voice in this case. So it's more than just whether it's, you know, this big spending federal government or this big spending provincial government. We're the only party that's able to represent the voice of taxpayers in this lawsuit. So we'll be able to talk about how equalization impacts taxpayers, whether it's taxpayers of Newfoundland, taxpayers of Alberta, or even our friends in Quebec, how it's going to directly impact them if there's a change to equalization, which makes it more favorable. And I just, on the topic of Newfoundland and Labrador, there was, you know, we were decades of having a culture here of trying to get out of being a half province, dating back to Brian Peckford in the 80s. And, you know, that was a key talking point for politicians of all stripes here, wanting to get out of having to be a have-not province and to turn the tap on off of having to take federal welfare and to be our own entity. We reached that point in the 2000s. And what did we do? We increased spending, we bloated the public service, and we basically learn nothing from our mistakes. And now we're back in the same boat. Instead of trying to fix our problems and get to where we were 20 years ago, we're now just going and asking for more handouts. And we're going to repeat that same steps of basically continued deficit spending, continued increased transfers, and essentially hurting taxpayers in the long run, unless organizations like the Canadian Taxpayers Federation stands up to equalization.
You know, this reminds me of an analogy, again, carrying it forward with the metaphor of like a designated driver or the sober dad or uncle coming home to the party saying, okay, boys, shut it down. You there, take the lampshade off your head, quit wasting our money, quit overspending. Now, Franco, this is super important because right now for us to get involved as taxpayers, we're dealing with two governments that don't seem to know how to stop spending money.
That's exactly it. I'm so glad you brought that up, because that is the reason that the Canadian Taxpayers Federation and our supporters had to jump in to this legal challenge, right? Because remember, folks, you have the government of Newfoundland and Labrador suing the federal government, the Trudeau government, for more taxpayers' money, right? They want more taxpayers' money. And we're just looking back here like, wait a second here. The Newfoundland and Labrador government wants more money from the feds. Can we really trust Trudeau and the federal government to stand up for taxpayers across the country and not spend more money? So that's exactly why we've got Devin over there on the ground as our lawyer in-house of the Canadian Taxpayers Federation. And that's why the CTF, we knew we had to jump in this fight, because you know what? We can't just sit back and hope that the Trudeau government is going to stick up for taxpayers and not give in to Newfoundland and Labrador trying to reach for more of our money through higher equalization payments. We're essentially saying we have to jump in this fight because we can't trust Ottawa. We can't trust the federal government. We can't trust the Trudeau government to stick up for taxpayers against Newfoundland and Labrador's challenge and demands.
Awesome. It actually reminds me of that meme with the old school Spider-Man and they're all pointing at each other and they're the same. We got to swoop in and
I like that one.
Taxpayer day. All right. So we have another court fight. And again, it's coming from Atlantic Canada. This one's, I think, more fun because it's the carbon tax. And the carbon tax is probably my favorite thing in the world and that I want to get rid of it more than anything in the world. Devin, I don't know what you're putting in the water out there, but there's another fight brewing. And this time it's coming out of New Brunswick and it's involving the carbon tax federally. Can you explain this?
Absolutely. So Premier Higgs, Blaine Higgs in New Brunswick, has announced that he wants to bring another legal challenge to the federal carbon tax. And, you know, you may think, didn't this already happen? But things have changed since there was a previous decision on the federal carbon tax. When the Trudeau Liberals brought in the federal carbon tax and the provinces says, no, this doesn't smell right, and brought it to the Supreme Court of Canada, it was found to be constitutional because the Trudeau Liberals were arguing that it is constitutional because it is a national objective. We need a national carbon tax. There's a nuanced power in the Constitution that allows for federal government to make national emergency laws or laws or national concerns. They essentially said that the only way to fight climate change is with a national carbon tax. It needs to be one carbon tax, at least a minimum carbon tax across the country. And that's the only way we can fight climate change. Then, just shortly after that, Trudeau is now carving out exemptions for the carbon tax. For example, on home heating fuels, which predominantly benefits some provinces in Atlantic Canada, notably Nova Scotia and PEI. So it seems like, to Premier Blaine Higgs and others that have been watching this, that it's not just a national carbon tax anymore. You're seeing certain provinces being treated differently. And that essentially ruins the Trudeau Liberals' arguments for why the carbon tax is constitutional. So Blaine Higgs has announced that he wants to challenge it again under this provision, saying that the argument doesn't work anymore. It's no longer constitutional. And in fact, if you read the decision, and I know most normal people don't, it's 500 pages long or whatever the case may be, that the Justice Malcolm Rowe, one of the Supreme Court justices who wrote a dissent in that case, pointed out that it actually may not be constitutional if they start carving out exceptions for certain provinces, which is exactly what they started to do. So I think it's really interesting. I'm looking forward to seeing the lawsuit filed there in New Brunswick. And I'm also hoping, and we've been calling it across the Canadian Taxpayers Federation, for other premiers to get involved and bring forward legal challenges. I'm sure we'll have lots to say on that as well if a challenge gets started, or when a challenge gets started at this point.
Franco, do you think other premiers are going to jump over the ropes on this and tag in?
I have a feeling they might, as they should. Okay, folks, like, let me just go into the policy aspects and leave that whole constitutional argument to our legal beagle, Devin Drover over there. But like, look, when Trudeau announced that he was taking the carbon tax off of furnace oil for 3 years, he did two things. Number one, he admitted that the carbon tax does make life more expensive. Right? Because why would he be providing relief by taking the carbon tax off of furnace oil if the carbon tax didn't, in fact, make life more expensive? So Trudeau, with that carve out, admitted what everyone outside of Ottawa already knew, that the carbon tax drives up the cost of living. In fact, if you're using like natural gas, the carbon tax alone will cost you about $300 extra on your natural gas bill last year, and it'll cost you $1,100 over those 3 years, the carbon tax on natural gas alone, as Trudeau cranks up his favorite tax. But number two, what Trudeau showed is that the carbon tax is not about the planet, it's about politics, right? Trudeau's carve out was a pure political ploy after he saw his polling numbers nosedive in the typical liberal stronghold of Atlantic Canada, right? And not only that, you had one liberal member of parliament, Ken McDonald.
Golf clap. That was a good golf clap.
Yep. Ken McDonald, who stood up for his constituents, stood up for his convictions, and told Trudeau that he should scrap the carbon tax. He voted, actually, to repeal all carbon tax. And so because of pressure from CTF supporters in Atlantic Canada, from the Liberal MP, Ken McDonald, from CTF supporters across Canada, Trudeau made the carve out. But in doing so, like I said, he admitted the carbon tax does make life more expensive. He essentially admitted that the carbon tax is all about politics, not the planet. And oh yeah, one more little admission that came from it. He's giving 3% of Canadian families relief. Only 3% of Canadian families use furnace oil to heat their homes during the winter, predominantly from Atlantic Canada, while he's leaving 97% of Canadians out in the cold paying carbon taxes on their home heating bills every winter.
Yeah, that was a particularly politically delicious moment when he did that, because that was a huge mistake on his part, because he admitted all of those things. I think it was a Simpsons episode where I watched Homer Simpson knocking holes in the hull of his own boat. So that's kind of what that looked like. I have a couple little stories here because we all love our stories and our anecdotes. So I have a relative that lives in Nova Scotia who may or may not have once asked me to drive her to a pipeline protest. Okay. Like hardcore against this sort of stuff.
And not like protesting for pipelines. Like what?
No. We have very interesting Thanksgiving dinner conversations. So I also, by the way, I said, no, you can ride your bike there. So what was hilarious is that a lot of people don't know this unless you've lived in Atlantic Canada. Up until last July 1st, not this past one, but last July 1st, they were paying a very reduced form of the carbon tax.
Especially Nova Scotia.
Big time. And then all of a sudden, bam, July 1st, they're paying the full freight of the carbon tax as Prime Minister Justin Trudeau ordered them to. So all of a sudden, their home heating went through the roof. The price of the pumps went through the roof. And I kid you not, the same relative texted me saying, what's this carbon tax thing? This is outrageous.
Hey, let me build on off that. Yeah. Because so before Trudeau hammered Atlantic Canada with that carbon tax increase you're talking about, which came into effect July 1 of 2023. Before that, for example, Nova Scotia's carbon tax was significantly lower and they were still reducing emissions. One of Canada's leading emissions reducers. I don't know if I can call it that. But anyway, so before Trudeau hammered them with the carbon tax hike, me and Jay, our then interim Atlantic director, he's our Ontario director, as you know, We toured around Atlantic Canada talking about the carbon tax hike that was going to come from Prime Minister Justin Trudeau. And in Halifax in particular, it was crazy because, like, we're nerds. We talk about the carbon tax all the time, right? For us, it's just like, hey, good morning. Carbon tax is still awful. Yep, carbon tax is awful too, right? But me and Jay were like going out for dinner. We were going to the supermarket or whatever. And we heard average folks talking about the carbon tax. And one of the things that resonated with me is people were like, what is the government doing? We're already, already living paycheck to paycheck. Inflation is already through the roof. And now the government is going to make the necessities of our lives, like home heating, like driving to work, like buying groceries, more expensive. So it's just crazy to me how, you know, not even us nerds, but just average people were outraged by Trudeau's carbon tax hike.
Yeah, exactly. And those average people were contacting their members of parliament. And their members of parliament are the adults left in the Liberal caucus room. So in most cases, they're the longest serving members of parliament, the ones who may look at Prime Minister Justin Trudeau as a kid in short pants and say, no, my constituents are super mad about paying however many hundreds of extra dollars to fill their home furnace oil tank this coming fall. This is not happening, by. You got to scrap this thing. And this is exactly what happened. He made his little announcement with a lot of his Atlantic caucus behind him and without Environment Minister Stéphane Guibeault. Exactly to all of your points, both Devin and Franco, this pulled back the curtain. Everybody could see who the Wizard of Oz really was when you did this on the financial front, that this is hurting people financially, and on the environmental front of, oh, this is no longer a national thing. Because we're giving primarily one region of the country a carve out, an exemption on this carbon tax. That's why I try not to get hopeful about courts, because I know they're complicated and we can't really predict it, right? But there's a little flutter of hope in me that I think this time this one might actually fly. Devin, are you allowed to be hopeful, or do you have to remain like Spock Vulcan?
I'm hopeful. I think the argument has completely shifted with the carve outs that we've seen. The only thing is court takes a long time. It may be a long time before we get there. And I'm hopeful that we don't have a federal carbon tax before this even hits the Supreme Court of Canada. So that's what I'm looking forward to. I hope, politicians start listening to our supporters and get rid of this bloody thing before it even has to make it to another court.
Just imagine that it could be moot.
Exactly.
Well, and that's the thing, right? We're going to keep fighting this in the court of public opinion as well. But just to add a little bit of ray of sunshine here, remember, folks, like the Canadian Taxpayers Federation, we were in the legal challenge against Trudeau's No More Pipelines Law, right? The Impact Assessment Act, Bill C-69, and we were successful. Right. Mm-hmm. We were successful, and we were in that case in the courts, and the courts ruled, you know, breaking the law, can't do that. Right. So we have been successful before, and it's one of the tools that we use in our toolbox to fight government overreach.
Excellent. All right. Do you want to get to our taxpayer pro tip, gentlemen?
Yeah.
Absolutely.
Beautiful. I will go first because I think Alberta will be the first one over the top rope and tagging in. We do have a WWF culture here in Alberta, so I like using my wrestling analogies for the Heart Foundation. So I do think, and I'm urging Premier Danielle Smith, I know there's been an email that's gone out from the Taxpayers Federation. All of our supporters are friendly bombarding her inbox right now, saying, get into this fight. So we really hope to see Alberta taking a leading role in this court fight, going after the carbon tax federally. So that is our taxpayer pro tip. If you've got an MLA near you, grab them and tell them to get involved with this court fight on behalf of Canadian taxpayers. Franco, did you want to go next? Devin, do you want to go next on your taxpayer pro tip?
Well, you know what? Let me go, sorry, because let me just add on to that. Sorry, Devin.
No.
Let me just add on to that, like, not just in Alberta, right? Like, all of your, like, if you're in BC or you're in Saskatchewan or Ontario or Manitoba or any of the provinces, right? Any of the Atlantic provinces as well, or in Quebec, right? Contact your provincial representative and tell them, like, fight Trudeau's carbon tax, come off the bench on this. And let me transition to my taxpayer pro tip. And it goes out to NDP leader Jagmeet Singh. So, winter's coming up. The carbon tax on home heating is back in the media, right? You've already signaled your party's thinking about backing away from the carbon tax. We remember former NDP leader Jack Layton talk about how the carbon tax punishes Canadians who have no choice but to heat their home during the winter. Well, right now would be a great time, Mr. Singh, if you want to prove that you're no longer on Team Trudeau and that you don't support the carbon tax, now would be a great time to call on Prime Minister Justin Trudeau, host a press conference, call on Prime Minister Justin Trudeau to extend the same relief that he predominantly gave to Atlantic Canadians and remove the carbon tax from everyone's home heating before Canadians get hammered with higher heating bills this winter. That's my pro tip.
That is an excellent pro tip. And if he doesn't want to listen to you, Franco, he can listen to his best friend, the BC Premier, the BC NDP Premier, who has had an amazing moment where he's realized, oh my goodness, this is so unaffordable. If we get rid of the federal carbon tax, meaning the backstop is gone, I will get rid of the consumer carbon tax. This is, of course, Premier David Eby, who is also in the middle of an election, but we'll take it. If we can get the BC NDP having a full 180 on this, all Jagmeet needs to do is his riding's right there. I mean, it doesn't even have to be a long distance phone call. He can walk over to Eby's house and they can have, I don't know, like a kale smoothie or something and talk about it. All right, Devin, what's your taxpayer pro tip?
My taxpayer pro tip is for all of the Newfoundland and Labrador MHAs to oppose this proposed salary hike of $25,000. The Newfoundland and Labrador politicians want a $25,000 pay hike at the same time many Newfoundlanders and Labradorians are struggling to make ends meet. This would make them the highest paid provincial politicians in all of Atlantic Canada and comes at a time where, like I said earlier, 13 of the last 15 budgets have been deficits. They're now going to the federal government for more equalization money. This is not right. I don't know about either of you, but I've never worked in an industry where you get a pay raise for doing a bad job. I think until they get their fiscal house in order, then all of those MHAs need to vote no on this proposed pay hike this fall.
That is an excellent taxpayer pro tip. And just for folks who are listening, who aren't from Newfoundland and Labrador, an MHA is...
Member of the House of Assembly. So it's our MLA equivalent or MPP for our folks in Ontario or MNA for our folks in Quebec. Mm.
See, we're all distinct societies. Devin, Franco, thank you so much for a great show. Folks, if you want to get involved with this fight, because we do bring kind of a joyful form of fellowship into fighting for taxpayers, head on over to our website, taxpayer.com. Find the petitions that speak to you. If you want to scrap the carbon tax, if you want to defund the CBC, if you want to cancel the gun grab, yes, 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 sign those petitions and you will then be on the taxpayer army. And the next time it's time, for example, to push Premier Daniel Smith to get into another big carbon tax court fight, you're going to be on the standing army and you will actually make good change happen. So head on over to taxpayer.com, sign up. That's where you can stand up and be heard.